fund to drink with of the Republican lawmakers. That's so it goes. Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
That's so it goes. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am not Kristen Bry. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry here at across the Civic Media Network and here at our studio in Waukesha. And I think, you know, there's been a whole lot of attention going to a live radio broadcast happening at this exact time. It's definitely ours here at As Goes Wisconsin with because we are joined by I'm going to call you the Packers insider for As Goes Wisconsin. It's Mr. Paul Noonan. Thank you so much for joining the show today. We're having a little trouble hearing you right now, so we're going to be doing our best to clear that up at the moment. But on another radio broadcast, there is a certain Packers quarterback who is going to be talking with Pat McAfee, as he often does. There's been a little bit of rumors about what's been happening with Aaron Rodgers potentially getting traded to the Jets, likely getting traded to the Jets. He's getting all of his friends to get signed by the Jets. And do we have Paul back with us yet?
How do I sound?
Oh, you sound great. Welcome, right. Paul.
Apologies for that. It was working until 5 seconds up until the show started.
That's always how it goes. So welcome to the show. I've been hosting here, so I haven't had enough time to kind of catch up on what's been going on in the As the World Turns saga in Green Bay. So is Aaron Rodgers still a Packer?
He is still a Packer as of this moment. We're of course contemporaneous with the Pat McAfee show, but by all accounts, he's going to be a Packer still at the end of this day, probably, and is definitely one right now at this very moment.
So the trade hasn't happened yet, even though the New York Jets have signed, Alan Lazard?
Alan Lazard, yes.
I don't know if they've made anything official with Randall Cobb or Mercedes Lewis or Donald Driver or Jordy Nelson or Jake Kumerow or any number of potential Packers receivers that Aaron Rodgers has played with over the years. But
From the wish list, I think everyone else is aspirational at this point. Alan Lazard has the advantage of actually being a useful player still. So
yeah, he's good. I like Alan Lazard. Yeah. I'm kind of sad to see him go.
Yeah, me too, actually. And I think he'll actually fit in well with the Jets, but it's definitely, you know, part of the play for Rodgers to get him over there too.
Yeah, so it's so funny because, you know, there's all these memes going around right now saying that, like, oh, Rodgers wanted to was so upset with Green Bay for not putting him, surrounding him with the weapons that that he wanted over the past few years. And now it seems to be very likely that he is headed to the New York Jets. Right at this point, I'd be pretty surprised if there was some other outcome, if he were to remain in Green Bay, or if, like, Jordan Love were traded to the New York Jets or something like that. That would be pretty shocking. It seems like all signs are pointing towards Aaron Rodgers being a New York Jet.
At this point, yeah. It looks exceedingly likely. We have a lot of unknowns, of course. People keep things close to the vest. But from what we can tell, it looks like Aaron is at least on board enough with it that nobody's cut off talks. The one thing we can tell is, well, Aaron is, you know, he likes attention. He likes drama. But if he just didn't want to go, I think the Packers would have cut off negotiations by now and focused on salary cap issues and other issues and dealing with Jordan Love. So he's probably on board. And all of the reports to come out of the last few hours and into yesterday were really more about compensation from the Jets for Aaron Rodgers. And this is a tough deal to price. So I'm not surprised that it's been a little bit complicated coming to proper compensation. A lot of the quarterbacks who've been traded over the last 2 years have garnered quite a huge package of picks, but they've also been more long-term. Like Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson aren't as good as Aaron Rodgers, but when the Rams and Denver traded for them, they expected to have them for several more years. Whereas, you know, we go through this every year with Aaron, it might be his last. You don't know what you're getting. And so that will drive the price down from the Jets' perspective. Anybody wants to get as much as they can back for him.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting once we find out what the kind of package is going to be, that's going to be really interesting too, because, you know, much like 15 years ago, Aaron Rodgers is in his late 30s, and his best years are likely behind him. And he, while he is, like you said, he's better than the likes of Russell Wilson or Matthew Stafford or a number of these quarterbacks who've been traded in recent years. You know, we don't know if he's going to be, I mean, we don't know how many more years he'll be playing for. Like this could just be one more year with the Jets and done. We have no idea. I mean, we don't know if he could retire right. He could be retiring right now as we talk, you know, live on the Pat McAfee show. We have no idea. He's Aaron Rodgers has become, I guess, to say the least, rather unpredictable.
He is very unpredictable. And part of the reason for that is he does have so many outside interests. I mean, we hear a lot about them. Sometimes we make fun of them. But I mean,
they are funny. Some of his outside interests are funny. So that's why we need to make fun of. We're just having a sense of humor about these things. Aaron can do what he wants, whatever.
He can do what he wants. And you know, to his credit, not every player does have outside interests. A lot of players come back because they only do football. So if he did retire, it wouldn't be that big of a surprise. But you are correct that one of the reasons this is tricky is there basically aren't any good quarterbacks over the age of 40. The one that everybody will always point to is Tom Brady, who is really just an enormous outlier. No one's ever played into their age 45 season as well as he has. And there's just no precedent for it. If you run numbers for quarterbacks who played over the age of 40, like throwing more than 100 passes, it's like 11 guys. And the ones to do so effectively are basically just Brady, Brett Favre in his last year for the Vikings, and Drew Brees.
Second to last year for the Vikings. His last year for the Vikings was terrible. Yeah. But yeah.
The one that he would like to forget about. Yes. Right. But that's kind of it. This is going to be Aaron's age 40 season, and guys are often good in the age 40 season, but you're likely not getting, I mean, it's speculative if he's going to be any good. I mean, he declined a bit last season. There's no sure thing he's going to rebound. And he's probably not going to play 2 years. It's just quarterbacks don't do it as a rule.
So one of the things I think is interesting about this, because like coming into this offseason, there were kind of a handful of teams that could have traded for Rodgers. You know, we heard about the Raiders. Devontae Adams sure seemed to advocate for that option with Aaron Rodgers coming to the Raiders. They have since signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a multi-year contract. I don't even know if it's a multi-year contract. Contracts in the NFL make absolutely no sense to me because it seems like you get these astronomical contracts. Numbers and then they could just kind of cut them whenever they want.
The longest NFL contract is 3 years.
Yeah.
Most of them are 2 years.
Yeah. NFL, not for long, right? Some of the players say. So that option taken off the board. I think the Saints were another one that were looking for a quarterback. That option taken off the board. The Jets are kind of the only option remaining, it seems like, for Aaron Rodgers. And you know, watching the Jets last year, they seemed to have a really good defense. Seemed to have some pretty good skill position players that they had drafted in recent years. But would adding Aaron Rodgers make them a Super Bowl contender in the AFC? There's a lot of good teams in the AFC.
Yeah, it would make them a marginal Super Bowl contender. They were very good last year with extremely poor quarterbacking. They do have a very good defense, and they have good young skill position players. If they had got, like I'd say, an 80% to MVP level Aaron Rodgers performance, they'd be contenders. But it is a really, really tough road to hoe over there with Buffalo in your division. And then the Pat Mahomes-Andy Reid combo is not going to be bad. I mean, frankly, they were kind of in a rebuilding year last year and will be likely better than they were last year this year. So it makes them fringe contenders, but I think like a realistic look at their chances would still have them as like a 5% or less team, even with a pretty good Rodgers performance. So they're in a tough spot because they did just use a high pick on a quarterback with Zach Wilson, who just hasn't worked out. And because they were pretty good last year with bad quarterbacking, they're not in a position to get a quarterback in any other way. So they've created this sort of bizarre window for themselves where they don't have a way to get anybody else to quarterback the team. But other than quarterback, they're pretty well set up. And I think it's a big unknown as to how good they can actually be.
You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are joined right now by Paul Noonan, our Packers insider, who is giving us the lowdown on what we might come to expect going forward with a certain unpredictable, kind of funny, kind of not funny, legendary quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. We've got a couple minutes here before we come up to break. But do we know at all what Aaron Rodgers is saying right now on the other on his broadcast with Pat McAfee? Maybe we'll check into that during the break here. But yeah, I think he always likes to both make some news and not make some news in these regular radio appearances that he has there. Do we know anything that's been happening just yet?
So far, I'm fortunate enough to have people keeping me exactly up to date on the Pat Mac show right now, and they're just vamping about nonsense at the moment.
Good.
No news is broken. My friends and colleagues are talking about the fact that he just muttered the word COVID MVPs. I don't know what that means. We'll find out later. But it sounds like he's in the making news part of it right now, the making nonsense news part of it right now.
Good, good. Yeah. So we can safely ignore all of that.
Yes, we can.
As we get back to it here. Paul's going to be sticking with us for one more segment here on As Goes Wisconsin. We are also today on the show, we are talking with a number of guests who are talking to us about elections for mayor. We had Kristen Lyerly join us in the first hour of the show, talk about the race for mayor in Green Bay. A lot of attention on Green Bay on this show today. Scott Gordon is going to be joining us later this hour. Scott Gordon of Tone Madison is going to be joining us later this hour to talk about the race for mayor in Madison. And we are also going to be joined during the 1 o'clock hour by Patty Vasquez, who is going to be talking to us about the mayor in Chicago, the mayor's race in Chicago as well, which of course affects all of us here in Wisconsin. But for now, we're taking a little break from the politics and all that to talk about the Green Bay Packers with Paul Noonan as the Aaron Rodgers saga continues into what, day three, I guess it would be, of free agency. We're going to be continuing to talk about that after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer. Stick with us.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry today. And we are joined right now by our Packers insider, Paul Noonan, we've been talking a little bit about what's been going on with the Green Bay Packers, with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is also on the radio right now. Talking about his future. Paul was sending me some updates about what Aaron was saying on the radio during our break there. So what's going on here, Paul?
So Aaron has definitely taken a turn on Pat Mac. It's weird to be talking about another radio show, but he is good for crafting his own narrative and has shifted to essentially putting the blame on the Packers for moving on from him, playing something of an innocent victim, said basically when he went into his darkness retreat, he was expecting to have the option to come back available to him, and that he was surprised when he came out of the rumors that the Packers had been shopping him, that when he went into the darkness, he was 90% going to retire and 10% going to come back, and that something, in his words, something changed in the darkness, which he is nothing if not a poet. So, I'd say based on the tenor here, we actually do have at least a little bit of news, which is that that's clearly some animosity being directed at the Packers. And so probably more okay with going to the Jets, which was one of the check boxes we have to check before he can be traded, that he has to be okay with it. And, you know, that's probably a check in the retirement / Jets column there. So that is something, at least, that actually have some words from him.
Yeah, and when you get down to it, it's just...
And now we have expressly said, I would like to play in New York.
Oh, so, wow.
There you go.
The direct quote, Aaron Rodgers.
Breaking news, he says he wants to play in New York.
Wow. Well, everything has been indicating that over the past, you know, couple weeks anyway. Darkness or no darkness. Whether or not something actually changed in the darkness, it all seems to have been heading in that direction anyway, that the Aaron Rodgers saga would end much as the Brett Favre saga did, with a kind of acrimonious but also understood trade to the New York Jets. So here we are, history repeating itself.
So that just, I think, turns the attention to logistics, boring stuff. Now that Aaron said that, actually, it takes a lot of the drama out of it. Like, he wants to go there, he'll probably end up there. And it really comes down to, you know, negotiating compensation and having to deal with Aaron's insane salary cap number, which the Jets have been making moves to accommodate. So it looks like everybody's got the wheels turning here. He's actually not even that expensive next year. He only costs about $15 million against the cap for 2023. It's just after that becomes a problem for everybody.
Yeah, NFL contracts. Again, I can't make... I'm a close follower of many sports. NFL contracts I can never really make sense of. But I think, okay, I want to step back and just kind of look big picture here, because I think this is ultimately a good thing for both sides, because I think Aaron Rodgers returning to Green Bay, I don't think this is a Super Bowl team as currently constructed. 100%
agree. And it's good to move on for that very reason. Honestly, Aaron's cap situation is such that it's almost impossible to put a good enough team around him to get to a Super Bowl. And that's kind of where the Packers live. The Jets can sort of leverage the fact that the Packers will be paying some of his salary upon a trade, and he's somewhat cheaper for that reason. But you're right. This is just not a Super Bowl team. And they do have Jordan Love just sitting around, really not knowing what they have. And it's worth their time and money to figure that out as well. So I think this is good for both sides too.
Right. So you have, you know, if you don't have a Super Bowl team, it doesn't really make sense to have a 40-year-old, extremely expensive, four-time MVP quarterback on your roster, right? Like, I think if the Packers were in a position where they kind of were when they, you know, came up short against Tampa Bay and they came up short against San Francisco, those were Super Bowl contending teams. I think even when they lost to San Francisco, I believe they were the favorite to win, you know. The second time in Aaron Rodgers' career where he went into the playoffs the favorite and didn't win a game, that's, you know, seems to be overlooked by all of the rest of the Aaron Rodgers insanity that he brings upon the news cycle. But if he were a quarterback that could bring them back to the Super Bowl, if this was a team that had Super Bowl aspirations, maybe it would make sense to bring him back for kind of a last dance type of situation. I think last year was the last dance type of situation, and they underperformed. He had an okay season. He was injured. He had a couple pretty remarkable moments. That game against the Cowboys was really fun. But other than that, you know, there's not a whole lot to be optimistic for as far as the Super Bowl contend. There's a lot of good players on this Packers team. Jair Alexander, Christian Watson, you know, there's a number of good players that could bring us, but I just think in the big picture, this isn't a Super Bowl team, so it makes sense to have the parting of the ways now.
Yeah, absolutely. You saw all the other flaws become manifest last year, and you saw what happens when not everything goes perfectly to plan. Rashawn Gary got hurt, will not necessarily be back right away this year. It's not like this is going to be a much improved team after the draft, after not spending that much money in free agency. It's going to be kind of the same base level of talent last year, plus a year older. And it's just hard to see that team jumping up to catch, you know, the Eagles and the 49ers and the other aspirational teams in the NFC. So, yeah, you're 100% right. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to pay that guy that much money for what's going to be. I mean, maybe they get lucky and win their division, but their division isn't good, and it doesn't make you a contender to win it, you know. Yeah. So it makes sense from all parties to move on. It's probably going to be a bit of a reload year, whether Love is good or bad. And that's best for the team. It's going to happen sooner or later. You know, Aaron's only probably got one season left, and it makes sense to start it now when you have the potential future guy there to figure out what you have and what you don't.
Yep, absolutely. So the direct quote from Aaron is, "In the darkness, something changed." Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Boy, that's going to be an easy one to make fun of in the days and weeks to come here because it's so ridiculous. All right, Aaron Rodgers, probably going to be a New York Jet, still technically a Green Bay Packer. Paul Noonan, thank you so much for joining us for this kind of bizarre segment where we're reacting to something happening on another radio show. I think we managed okay.
I think so, too. And thanks for having me. It's always interesting with that guy, no matter what.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. After the break, we are going to be joined by Scott Gordon of Tone Madison talking about the Madison Mayor's race. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host today. We were just, for the last segment, joined by Paul Noonan. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers and what his future holds for his Green Bay Packers. Sounds like he's headed to the New York Jets. Sounds like something happened in his darkness retreat where something changed. But we're going to be continuing our series of conversations today about mayoral elections happening around the state and around the region. We talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly in our first hour of the show about the mayor's race happening in Green Bay. And we are joined for our next segment by Scott Gordon, the publisher of Tone Madison, to talk a little bit about the race for mayor in Madison. Scott, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan.
So there's a lot of attention paid to the top of the ticket in the spring election with the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. But there is a lot going on down ballot in a lot of different communities across the state. One of those communities is Madison, where there is a race for mayor. So since I've been paying so much attention to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, paying attention to a number of other stories happening in Milwaukee, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to what's been happening in these mayor's races. So Kristen was able to give me the lowdown about what's happening in Green Bay in our first segment. So what's been happening with the race for mayor in Madison?
So our incumbent mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway, who was first elected in 2019, has a challenger named Gloria Reyes, who has served on the Madison School Board and was deputy mayor under Paul Soglin, and also, like, earlier in her career was a police officer. And it is an interesting race, and it's gotten kind of weird at a lot of turns. There were a couple other folks in the primary who weren't, you know, didn't come off as super serious. And it's been interesting to me that this is what the field's come down to, and that no one's running really to Satya's left. I think there's a lot of ways you could break it down, but I think the really interesting thing to me is how much this mayor's race grows out of all the conflict that's been happening in Madison recently over transit and housing and density. You know, a big part of the agenda that Satya ran on in 2019 was making progress on some transit projects, including bus rapid transit. And the city has broken ground on construction for some of the bus rapid transit lines. And for those who aren't like constantly thinking about bus rapid transit, it's a system where a bus has a dedicated lane and kind of expedited boarding and loading and stuff.
Higher frequency, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a really promising development, and there've been a bunch of contentious turns in this debate, especially over 2021 and 22, there was this huge blow up about the proposal of routing buses down State Street, which is the logical thing to do if you need to get from east to west on, you know, the isthmus of Madison. There just aren't a lot of, if you look at a map, there aren't that many ways to really do that well. And a bunch of, like, business owners and folks got together and kind of threw a tantrum over that, and we're trying to delay it and trying to get the buses routed off of State Street. The Wisconsin State Journal ran approximately a million editorials calling for State Street to become a grand pedestrian promenade. And the way it is now, and the way that it'll probably kind of still be after bus rapid transit comes in, is that there will be transit and also still a lot of pedestrian-friendly space. And those two things aren't at odds with each other. But the city ended up sticking with that routing, and it, you know, upset a lot of people. And it definitely struck me as kind of a tantrum on behalf of like certain business interests in Madison. You know, I don't know if it was really about the buses per se, so much as, you know, as so much as some folks kind of saying like, hey, you have to listen to us. And if we're not getting our way and we don't feel like we're being heard enough, then we're going to pitch a fit. We've also had a couple of really recent changes to zoning that are intended to basically encourage density, encourage more affordable housing. The housing market in Madison is really bad right now. You know, if you're searching for an apartment here, the rents are getting ridiculous. It's very hard to find, you know, a decent place in
anyone you talk to in Madison who's looking to buy a house is having a hard time.
No, it's terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so everybody, I think, realizes that the city badly needs to add a lot more housing units because things are very tight, and
it's the fastest growing part of the state. Yeah.
Yeah. And that creates a whole other interesting dynamic where obviously you have people in single family home neighborhoods often, you know, pushing back against these kinds of things and saying, well, this is going to like screw up the character of our neighborhood. And there's all kinds of kind of ugliness under the surface there that is, I think, pretty obvious to see. So the two big zoning things recently, one was transit oriented development, which basically is a way of allowing denser development within a certain radius of the bus rapid transit lines that we're building. And then there was a change to the way that the city defines family and how many unrelated people basically can live together in a housing unit. And the idea behind changing that and loosening those restrictions was to make it easier for, you know, multiple people, even if they're not related, to, you know, split the rent on an apartment or a house together. And there's been a lot of blowback, but I think it's been interesting to see some sane things prevail after what has largely been a few very frustrating years with our leadership and with our common council.
So some fraught debates over the years with transit, with housing, and, you know, kind of entering into this mayor's race in Madison between Sacha Rhodes Conway, the incumbent mayor, and Gloria Reyes, who was the challenger who emerged from the primary. You know, I think we talked about this a little bit in our earlier segment with Kristen talking about the race for mayor in Green Bay, but I think that it's really interesting how, you know, some of these races can be, you know, your typical partisan left-right of a Republican-Democrat type of race for mayor, but in other cases not so much. And I think I'd rather these races, just from somebody who doesn't like the, you know, just the kind of typical right-left arguments of these things, to get to a place of some sort of nonpartisan debate, and whether it's about transit, whether it's about housing, you know, I think it's interesting how those issues can be not your typical partisan issues, but are so important when you get down to the local level. So what if some of the, you know, you sent me a story the other day about a debate happening between these two candidates and the kind of the way that the race is taking shape here.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because, of course, you know, both of these candidates are Democrats, and both of them present themselves as progressive. And in the political landscape of Madison, you know, almost everybody wants to be considered a progressive, and people kind of throw that around so loosely that that it kind of loses a lot of its definition and gets a bit ridiculous. I think some of the housing and transit stuff that I'm talking about, and of course some of the debates over policing and so forth, have really brought out just how much of a conservative streak there is in Madison. And of course, we're always talking here about how we have this self-image as a progressive city that really doesn't hold up against a lot of the conditions that we've created for people and a lot of the policies that that we live under here. But it really has brought out, I don't think it's like extreme to say that it's brought out this very pronounced like reactionary streak in a lot of Madison. When we were kind of following, some common council meetings where they were debating these zoning changes, there were people really piling into public comment. A lot of them were arguing very eloquently for these zoning changes and really came prepared and made thoughtful arguments. And then a lot of the people against, I think because they're so used to having their way as single family homeowners and as, people who tend to be more likely to be white and more likely to have some money, I think they didn't like really bother to like come prepared with something, with anything thoughtful or substantive. And there were lots of things about, this ruining single family neighborhoods and college students are going to like invade the neighborhood and screw everything up. There was a real asymmetry in the debate between like how hard one side was trying and how much the other was just not. There was a lot of like disingenuousness and exaggeration and hyperbole coming from the sort of anti-density, if you want to call it, side. Some really outlandish moments, honestly, in the public comment, which, it's nothing new if you watch a lot of government meetings and stuff, but like there are people who literally would say things like, may God protect our right to live in single family homes, things like that. Just framing this clear need that we have to house more people here and to get housing costs down so that people can afford to live here, framing that as just this kind of ridiculous, like, of attack on Old Glory and God or whatever. Like, it was nuts. People were freaking out about like, oh God, there's going to be duplexes in my neighborhood now. These are incremental changes. They're nowhere near what is needed, but it's kind of the curse of Madison that we get like a little bit of the nice progressive things and then this reaction that casts that as extreme.
It seems just like a very reactionary type of response to, the realities of the challenges that Madison is facing with needing to build more housing, build more transit, house more people, keep housing costs down. It reminded me, I lived in Seattle for a little while. It reminds me a lot of the type of debates that I would follow in Seattle because they, throughout the 2010s, a very fast growing city, Amazon grew exponentially. They've moved their headquarters downtown. They built all these new apartments and stuff like that. But there were all sorts of debates about, keep preserving the integrity of the communities and keeping these single family housing. Well, at the same time, you have a growing homelessness crisis and a housing cost crisis and all these different things. And you think of these cities like a Madison or a Seattle as these progressive bastions. But when you get actually down to where the rubber meets the road in a lot of these situations, the debates can be very reactionary, can kind of veer into the territory that is kind of, more of a conservative type of viewpoint when you really get down to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we could spend a lot more time than we have here talking about like the way that these arguments get distorted. I have my issues with Sasha, and I wish that there were people challenging her who I felt were like doing something serious and substantive. I'm sure like Gloria Reyes is capable of running a serious and substantive campaign, but she just hasn't. And she very much comes off as just sort of like the candidate of cops and NIMBYs who want to push back on some minor change. And the fact that like Sasha has at least stuck to her guns on some of these things and shown, you know, some serious commitments and some serious thought about policy matters. See, I mean, that counts for a lot, even with all the drawbacks.
You've been listening to our conversation with Scott Gordon from the publisher of Tone Madison. We've been talking about the race for mayor in Madison, a very important race. We'll continue to follow Tone Madison's coverage of that and all sorts of different things on your website. I encourage everybody to go check it out. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today on As Goes Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about some headlines when we get back after the break. And in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Justin Warland of Time Magazine, who is giving a talk in Milwaukee later this week about the Inflation Reduction Act. So, Scott, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks so much, Dan. I appreciate you.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm filling in for Kristen Bry today. If you don't know me and my work, I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area, a weekly opinion column and online publication covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. We've been talking with a number of guests today about races for mayor happening around Wisconsin, around the region. So we got a chance to talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who is actively involved in the political scene in the Green Bay area. She told us a little bit about what was happening in that race. That's a really interesting and important one. We also were just joined by Scott Gordon, the publisher of Tone Madison, who gave us a little bit of a breakdown on some of the big issues happening in the Madison mayor's race with Satcha Rhodes Conway running against Gloria Reyes. And some of the issues that are at play there, transit, housing, growth, all important ones for the mayor of Madison to be tackling going forward as well. So at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock, we are going to be joined by journalist Justin Warland. He is Washington D.C. based senior correspondent for Time Magazine. He covers climate change in the intersection of policy, politics, and society. He is giving a talk tomorrow in Milwaukee about the Inflation Reduction Act and how that's going to impact people going forward as it continues to get implemented. That's going to be a really interesting conversation. And then in the second half of the hour, we're going to be joined by my friend Patty Vasquez, who is the host of Driving It Home on WCPT 820 in Chicago. So not only are we going to talk to some people about some mayoral races happening in Wisconsin, we're going to be talking to her about the race for mayor of Chicago. They just had their primary a couple weeks ago. They have their general election for the mayor of Chicago on the same day that we have our election, statewide election, of the spring election in Wisconsin for Wisconsin Supreme Court, for all these races for mayor, school board, all sorts of judicial races happening, all these nonpartisan offices that are elected in the spring election cycle. So there's just a lot happening. You know, the eyes of the nation are going to be on the Midwest on April 4th, whether it's going to be the election for mayor of Chicago and the election for Wisconsin Supreme Court in the race between Daniel Kelly and Janet Protasiewicz. We've also been talking today, because it is such a big topic in the state of Wisconsin, we've been talking about Aaron Rodgers as well. We had Paul Noonan join us to kind of live react to what Aaron Rodgers was saying over on the Pat McAfee show, where he said something changed in the darkness and now he wants to play for the New York Jets. What an interesting development from one Aaron Rodgers over there. I want to mention one other thing that's happening in the sports world right now, because, you know, I wouldn't be Dan Schaefer without coming on the radio and talking a little bit about my beloved Milwaukee Bucks. who won their 50th game last night with a win on the road in Phoenix. They won back-to-back games here in Sacramento and Phoenix on a West Coast road trip that they've had to start the week. And for so long as a Bucks fan, it was we never saw the team get to 50 wins. Never. From 1987 to 2019, the Bucks won 50 games one time. Just one time. The 2001 team with Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, Sam Cassell, Tim Thomas, who went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and the NBA officials decided that the Philadelphia 76ers were going to win that one. Still bitter. But that was the only time that they won 50 games for like a third. There's 30 years in between 50 win seasons for the Milwaukee Bucks. And now it's just commonplace. So we've had the last five seasons since Mike Budenholzer became coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, since Giannis Antetokounmpo won his first MVP in that 2018-19 season. We just win 50 games every year now. The Bucks won their 50. So, well, other than the 2021 season that was only a 72-game season, shortened because of the pandemic, the Bucks won 46 games. So, you know, stands to reason that if they had gotten those final 10 games, that they would have won at least four of them. So they basically had a 50-win season for 5 years in a row now. And that didn't happen for the entirety of pretty much my whole lifetime as a Bucks fan. You know, I was born in the mid-80s, so I only once got to witness the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, make a deep playoff run for years and years and years until Giannis Antetokounmpo came along, until Chris Middleton came along, until Mike Budenholzer was hired as the head coach. So while we have this whole saga with the Green Bay Packers playing out, getting a ton of attention in the Wisconsin sports world, I just want to give a shout out to my beloved Milwaukee Bucks for another 50 win season. And, you know, they currently still have the best record in the NBA right now. They have the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, the best record in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo, in my opinion, is the best player in the NBA, and should be the front runner for the MVP this year. I don't know that he actually is right now, but just a remarkable achievement for the Milwaukee Bucks. It really is a golden age of NBA basketball in Milwaukee. With the Milwaukee Bucks playing as well as they have. So just a reminder once again that we have some great guests joining us coming up after the break in the 1 o'clock hour. Justin Warland from Time Magazine is going to be talking to us about the Inflation Reduction Act. Patty Vasquez is going to be talking to us about the race for mayor in Chicago. But man, Milwaukee Bucks winning 50 games once again. In the Mike Budenholzer, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton era. Really fun couple games, too. I don't know if everybody stays up for these late West Coast games. I certainly do. I'm a night owl and a basketball fan, so it's really right in my wheelhouse. So I was able to watch the Bucks beat the Kings in a really fun game on Monday night and beat the Phoenix Suns in a really fun game last night. So if you have questions for us about the Inflation Reduction Act, about the race for mayor of Chicago, or just any other random thoughts, you can give us a call at 844-967-2789. We have a great rest of the show for you here. Aaron Rodgers is maybe going to is excited about, I don't know, he's maybe going to be a Jet coming forward. Maybe that'll even happen before the end of the show here. Just said he wants to play in New York. So that's pretty interesting, too. So be sure to stick with us for the last hour of the show. Again, my name is Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry today. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we will be right back. Stick with us.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.